Thank you for your service, veterans.
Yes.
Veterans Day weekend broadcast. We're at our home away from home, the showroom of Sanderson Ford in Glendale. They've got a lot going on today. They've got the Hot Rod show. They're setting up for
Rat Rod.
Rat Rod.
Rat Rods. Now, I'm not a big enough car show nut to know what that means. I thought Rat Rods were like cars that were deliberately made to look old and ugly.
Oh.
But I'm seeing the cars. They're lining up out there. I haven't seen an ugly one yet.
No.
But aren't Rat Rods the ones that are supposed to look rusty?
Yeah, and, I don't know.
You know,
I don't know. There's some beautiful cars out there.
There are some beautiful right here on 51st Avenue at Sanderson Ford.
Be a little live music a little bit later. And we're in the 8 o'clock hour. It's Outdoor Living Hour. Everything that grows, it's basically the theme of the hour. If you'd like to join the conversation, we are getting phone calls into the studio. We don't know that we'll get them on air, but you can at least get your message in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, or text questions to 411-923. What does it take, Mr. Greg Peterson, to be classified as an urban farm? Can I put in a citrus, a pumpkin, and a chicken and be an urban farm?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a farmette.
Yeah, that's a farmette. Exactly. Exactly. Here's what I've done. I'm deeply committed to transforming our global food system, but also the local food system here.
Now, that's a vision statement right there. That's a vision statement. Would you mind repeating it?
Well, so in 91, I created a vision for my life, and that was that I am the person on the planet responsible for transforming our food system. Why not?
Awesome.
You know, I've got, 50, 60, 70 years on the planet? Well, probably 70 years on the planet. And what else have I got to do?
That's comparable to Mel's vision statement, right?
Mel Bartholomew.
Stamp out global hunger.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
You guys are like big thinkers, man.
Well, you know, I'm a big believer that if the work I'm doing now isn't making a difference in 100 years, I'm not thinking big enough. So, you know, that's really what I do. I like thinking big. My team always laughs when I say, oh, my gosh, what if? Because they know I'm creating something epic or not. So back to the urban farm thing. About 5-6 years ago, I shifted this whole notion of being a farmer to urban farmer. And really, it's grow food and share it and name your farm. And that's really the trajectory for becoming an urban farmer, because farmers, they grow food and they share it. Most of them sell it. And when I was at ASU, I went back to ASU late in life. I was there from 99 to 06. And during that time, I grew food in the yard and I sold it to restaurants and at farmers markets. And I was making $300-$500 a week working part time while I was a full time student at ASU. So that's one way of doing it. The other thing is, you know, you just grow some food and, you know, share it with your family. But what claiming an urban farmship means is it, and what it does is it really just grows the conversation. You know, it grows the conversation about where our food comes from, why it's important to have local food. So, yeah, a pumpkin, what'd you say, a pumpkin, a chicken, and a
citrus.
And a citrus, yeah, you are good to go, man. You are good to go.
So, but if I wanted to be on the list for the urban farm tour.
Tours, yeah. So next year, about 15 years ago, I started giving a first Saturday tour at the urban farm every first Saturday of the month. And, you know, it kind of faded away in the late aughts. And so I've decided.
When it's your own house that you're living in, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly.
And your neighbors probably, you know.
Yeah, I've done a lot to work with the neighbors.
You got that old man down the street that get off my lawn.
Visionaries have a way of rippling the water.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? All my neighbors love what I do, and I've worked really hard on that. So, but in 2017, we're going to do essentially the first Saturday tour again, but I'm going to find other urban farms to do it on. And there are so many of them out there. We'll tour Jake Mace's place. Jolene Coody is a chiropractor out in Scottsdale. Cecilia Nadelko out in Mesa. Don Titmus. These are all people that have put places in place. They put their urban farm in place, and we can actually, hold a tour in the space. And there's a lot going on in these spaces. The people have thought through all of the different pieces. There's chickens and there's food grown in the yard and they're composting, and they've integrated it all into the space. And that's the important thing, so that when people come in, they can look at all the different things that are going, and the seeds get planted for the visitors to come in and start doing these kinds of things in their space.
So if I'm thinking about this and this appeals to me, going on the farm tour would give me a good starting point.
Exactly.
Because it could be very overwhelming.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely can be. In fact, I had a few years ago, I had a young lady on tour with me, and, you know, I can talk for days about what's going on at the urban farm. And when we got to the backyard, she stuck up her hand sheepishly and she said, "Oh my gosh, there's so much going on here. I'm overwhelmed. Where do I start?" And here's what I tell people. When you come on a tour, pick one thing that's cool. Go do that as a start. Then come on another tour and pick another thing, so that you're not, you know, you're not, we don't eat an elephant, you know, in one bite. You have to, you know,
one bite at a time.
Coming from a vegan, by the way. and I'll call myself a temporary vegan. I don't know where this is going, but
sounds the chicken.
It's the experiment. Yeah. Experimental phase.
Yeah, that's right. We're experimenting.
Well, one thing at a time.
I've got a question for someone that maybe has proven to not have the greenest of thumbs.
Yeah.
But are compelled by your vision, compelled by the idea that what we talk about in the Outdoor Hour a lot of times, Romy talks about, if you're going to water it, if you're going to fertilize it, if you're going to trim it, if you're going to edge it, if you're going to care for it, sweat over it,
eat it.
Make sure it's edible.
Eat it. But for those that don't know plant orientation, lot orientation, where would a person go? Are there consulting services that can come out, walk the property, and say, this is a good place for a hedge of artichokes, this is a good place for citrus, this is where your herbs are?
Yeah, I
got
I got a better one for you.
Okay.
Urbanfarm.org. I teach classes all the time.
Okay.
I'm teaching classes all the time. What I want to do is I want to teach you how to do it. Here's the thing. Growing food in the desert is really simple. It really is. And somebody from Minnesota is sitting back there saying, oh, yeah, that's the truth. Right? No. It's really simple. You just have to know the rules. And the rules for growing food in Phoenix is different than Seattle or, you know, Minnesota or, you know, wherever. So you just have to spend some time figuring out what the rules are. And, you know, on our website, urbanfarm.org, in the top right, there's a freebies tab. Go download your free planting calendar. The planting calendar will, you know, tell you what to plant when. That's a big thing, because we have, you know, we have growing seasons here that are 12 months a year. And you just need to know what to plant when. Our planting calendar helps you with that. When you put yourself on our planting calendar, I put you on our email list, so you'll get drips about what classes are coming up. And so, and in the fall and spring, I do a jumpstart your fall garden. I do a jumpstart your spring garden, so that people can start to get an idea of what it's going to take, because it really is simple.
Yeah. For me, it would be like, you know, daily phone calls. Rosie, do this now. Do this now. Theo, who's a caller.
Yeah, Theo. Hey,
says
Theo.
He's taking a class from you.
Oh, hey,
and,
great.
And that you're a great guy.
Thank you.
And is it too late to plant from seed, or should he get starters from a nursery? I guess it depends what he wants, what it is, right?
Yeah, it depends what you want. I mean, if you're going to plant lettuce, lettuce and cilantro can probably go in from seed,
radishes.
You can definitely put radishes. You could probably put
those are great for grandchildren.
Yeah.
Because they come up so fast.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you're not waiting 3 weeks to see something. You're like, oh, look, it's working. Grandpa exactly. Can grow something.
Right. Now, and if you wanted to plant, if you wanted to plant beets, you could do that right now from seed. Oh, yeah.
If you need radishes either.
Yeah, there you go.
Watching them grow.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, there's also always Velarde Gardens here in town. She does some great plant starts, and you can find her at the farmer's market, so.
For somebody on a small property, a patio home,
yep.
That type of apartment with a patio,
yep.
There's a lot of options. You've got your tower gardens. You've got your Flower Street Urban Farms. There's so many different types of container gardening that are out there. And you have a tower garden.
I do.
I have seen those.
Talk
through a tower garden for anyone that hasn't and how it's used.
It's so efficient.
Oh, yeah. It is so efficient. So I live on a third of an acre, and I have a third of an acre of dirt that I grow things in. And 5 years ago, I stumbled across a tower garden. A tower garden is a product that's put out by Juice Plus. It's essentially a hydroponic growing system. It there's a bucket of water basically at the bottom, and it pumps water up to the top of a 6-foot tower. And that water kind of trickles down through the tower. And growing on the outside of the tower are your groceries. And, you know, basically your job is to make sure that you keep enough nutrients in the water and keep water in it and keep the, you know, the pump pumping water. And we'll harvest off of our tower garden now until May.
And you'll have
wonderful.
You'll have to battle insects, but in that system you immediately eliminate rabbits,
yep.
squirrels, dogs,
yeah, exactly.
Smaller dogs.
Smaller dogs.
Some people
yeah, yeah, There you go. Well, interesting you should say that. I used to have 2 black labs that would go into the garden and eat snow peas right off the plant. They're not dumb. So, and you know, I had a few years ago, I've been at the urban farm for 27 years, sans one. And about 4 years ago, I took a year off. I leased the place out, and I went out and moved to a place in Peoria, right out here, right out near here where we're at now. And we had a 300-square-foot back patio. And I had my tower garden and some raised boxes, and we grazed a lot of food on the patio there.
That's downsizing. Yeah. Hey, Tim in Phoenix
doesn't
want a lawn.
Okay, good.
But what could you recommend in the way that he would still like a green ground cover? Any options there?
In the desert? It's hard in the desert because most everything that you plant as a green ground cover, it's the summer's hard on it. That being said, sweet potatoes.
Okay.
You know, if you wanted to plant sweet potatoes, and, oh, by the way, you can eat them. Sweet potatoes make a great ground cover. What I love to do is underneath the fruit trees, I'll put in sweet potatoes so that we have the fruit trees as an overstory and the sweet potatoes underneath. And they grow prolifically here.
And no artificial turf company has ever asked you to be their personal endorser, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But that could be one option for Tim.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't eat it.
Right. You mean the artificial turf?
Yes.
I'll tell you what. John Kitchell, you know John
yes,
Kitchell?
Yeah.
He's a longtime friend of mine. He was doing a project recently, and he... They decided to put artificial turf in the project. And I said, well, hold on here, time out. Excuse me? And I'll tell you what, he made a great case. It's like, you know what, it's in a public area.
Yeah.
They don't have to maintain it.
That's
they don't
right.
They don't have to mow it.
That's right.
It doesn't get beat down.
Yeah.
And in that moment, honestly, I was completely sold. It was like, you know what, there are absolutely places
there
for
are.
Artificial turf. Yes,
there,
absolutely.
There absolutely are.
Yeah.
Well, I would be highly curious in attending some of these classes. So, again, can we repeat real quick? Where are they going to start? Where are you currently teaching? How could I can't make Saturday mornings.
No, clearly.
I'm preoccupied.
Yeah, there you go.
But other than that.
Well, the good news is these days I teach a lot of online classes.
Beautiful.
Online classes. So you can go to urbanfarm.org on the front page. You just put your name, into our email list. And then I think in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about fruit trees and my fruit tree program.
Absolutely.
So, I got more for you there.